I suggest that if you want to make money on the first episode, you can't just plop it down tomorrow and say, well, where's the money? You plan for it. And when the launch hits, you'll have maximum people listening to it.
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, it's Adam Adams. And generally, as you may have gotten accustomed to, any even-numbered episode is supposed to be me alone pouring into you and your business. However, I did so many different interviews with so many really, really good people that on this episode today, even though this would typically just be me pouring into your business, me just sharing something short, like 5, 10, 20 minutes, where I poured into you and your podcast and growing your brand and really getting you in front of everybody, I'm going to do that today with an interview. So let's get right into it. Hello and welcome back to the Podcast on Podcasting. It's your host, Adam, AAA Adams. I'm stoked to have a friend on the show, Tom Antion. And just to give you a little bit about what I think you're going to get out of this episode, the major thing is if you have a podcast and you are not making the amount of money that you want to make from a podcast, then this is going to be a great episode for you, because with Tom, we're talking about something that he's noticed with a lot of podcasters is the reason they fall off, the reason that they're unsuccessful. A lot of them want to make money with their podcast, and that might be you. And I don't want you to have to fall off and fail. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how you can make money on the very first episode. And so if you've already got the show out, up and running, then how you can make money on the next episode. But we've got Tom Antion. He's never had a job. He hosts the Screw the Commute podcast based on the fact that he has never had to drive to work. He's an internet multimillionaire, the guy next door, and founder of the only licensed and dedicated internet marketing school. So he has a school for internet marketing, and you can jump right in there and learn how to market on the internet. He's made millions and millions of dollars through internet marketing. And one of his books, how much was your best ebook?
Brought in 3.6 million, and it was written in about 4 hours.
So that's almost $1 million
an hour. Yeah. That's you know, they are trying to raise the minimum wage, but I'm not sure. <it's that. laughs>
Love it. And additionally, they are making a documentary on Tom, which is coming out this spring as well. So it's called The American Entrepreneur. He's the subject of this Hollywood documentary that's premiering this spring. And Tom, why don't we just start there? How did you get a documentary made about you?
Well, I was doing a memorial speech for the lady that got me started speaking. She got me started at professional speaking in 1991. This is prior to the internet. And I was doing a memorial speech for her out in Hollywood. And in the crowd was a producer who had done 38 documentaries on all kinds of Olympic athletes and all kinds of people. And she met me for a few minutes, but she had seen me speak. And then unbeknownst to me, she started following me. And a couple of years later, she came up to me and she said, or she got in touch with me and she said, we'd like to do a documentary about you and your father coming from Syria on a cattle boat and all that stuff. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, I thought you were supposed to be dead before that. She said, no. She said, I'd like to do this. So can you get me some pictures of your dad and some, you know, whatever video footage you think might help me? And she put it together, and she's been pitching it around Hollywood, and apparently it's going to premiere this spring. So there we go. But I do want to make a slight correction.
Okay.
I did actually apply for a job once, Adam. It said 401k, and I thought, man, that's a good starting salary, $401,000. So I didn't get that job. But I'll do anything. You know, us entrepreneurs will work 80 hours a week to get out of working 40 for somebody else. You know that. Plus 80 plus for you.
Yeah, I think I'm work 80 hours in 4 days sometimes. Anyway, no, I love it. And I'm glad that you're part of the show. And we also, I was on your show too, but I don't think you have episode numbers. So I can't really say go to what now. What, no, you do have episode numbers.
Yeah, we can put it in your show notes.
Or something.
I'm not sure what it was. Yeah, we do have episode numbers. Anytime you want to go to one, it's screwthecommute.com/ and then the episode number, but I don't remember what yours was.
Okay. Yeah. You should make it / Adam. That's yeah. So much easier.
Adam's on this in the past
speaking,
for 2 years.
Speaking about screw.
No, triple A, I should have put.
Yeah, AAA. Like yeah. Don't get it confused with wrong right. Triple A. So I was also going to mention that you have a free giveaway. It's at screwthecommute.com as well, /automatefree. Tell us a little bit about that real fast.
Yeah, well, I got to $1.2 million a year years ago with one part-time temp person. And so I learned to use all these automation tools that are either free or cheap. And so I put them in there. And we actually figured it out a couple of years ago. Just one of the tips in the book saved me 7.5 million keystrokes over the years. And so it has all kinds of automation techniques. Some of them are free. Most of them are cheap. There's nothing expensive. And so I compiled them all the things that I use to respond to people lightning fast and save myself a lot of work. And I can ethically steal business from people because most schmucks won't get back to you. They're out at the beach and they wait for 2 days to get back to you, where I'm back to you in minutes and I get the business.
Yeah, good stuff. So that's screwthecommute.com/automatefree. And it teaches us how to automate everything so you can make millions of dollars a year working.
You got to work so you can spend more time making money than busy work.
Good stuff. Awesome. Well, I want to jump into this idea of being able to make money on your first episode, because I think that's a foreign idea for most of us. And so what's kind of the system that you have in place for somebody who's brand new? Their podcast hasn't even launched yet, but if they kind of follow these three things or one thing, they'll be able to actually make money on that very first episode. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. Well, we just passed our 404th episode, and I have been the sponsor for every episode. I haven't gone to anybody to give me, a few dollars. And even you couldn't even get a few dollars when you're new, because nobody wants to be on a show that's not proven or has no download. So what my suggestion is that you create a product of your own, or you go and affiliate with another product. So that means somebody else has a product that you recommend and you get a commission on it. And that's, you can do that pretty much instantly within an hour. You can go find a product that makes sense for your topic. But I really prefer that you develop your own products. And, I said 4 hours to create an ebook. And yeah, that's, I've done a lot of stuff. I've got 25 books, and people say, I can't write. Oh, I got a guy that's semi-literate that's got 14 bestsellers. He can't get up on stage and introduce me because he can't read the introduction. He talks it. Somebody else, English teachers and people that are English majors are dime a dozen for editing. So if you can get an idea on your topic down on a Word document, get somebody to edit it, convert it to PDF, now you have a $17 product at minimum. And you get all that money at 97% profit, just a little bit of credit card fees or PayPal fees. So if you're passionate enough and know enough about your topic to do a podcast, plenty enough to throw some stuff into an ebook that helps people. And I'm not saying throw the crap in there. I'm saying make it a good quality book. But right from the first episode, that's your sponsor. Show's sponsored by Automate Free ebook. It's going to save you 7.5 million keystrokes like it did me. It'll help you gain customers in a hurry. And then, you do your own self-talk ad for it, and then you're on with the show. And one person that buys it, you made more than you're going to make in 6 months chasing a sponsor. So sell 10, 20, 30 of them, then you got some money coming in right away.
So not only can you sell the book for 17 bucks or whatever the price, but should we make that book as part of the funnel where In the book, it has calls to action of maybe working with us as a consultant or something like that. Is that also part of the strategy, or just Adam's brilliant idea?
Yeah, no, well, no, it is the right track. See, I've been speaking to authors since the Chicken Soup for the Soul mega seminars. And then Author 101 was the gold standard author seminar. And I was a headliner at all these. And everybody knows that's in that field that the book is the least profitable, most hassle thing you'll ever do. But it's a necessary evil to lead to something bigger. So the way that I made $3.6 million on that book for 4 hours was that it led to a purchase that you had to purchase every month or every year to keep gaining the benefits of what I was talking about in the book. And some people have had the book like 18, or excuse me, had the product for 18 years because it's a really good thing. So I made $600 a year per person that bought what I promoted in the book. It wasn't even my product. So the book should always lead to something bigger, but that doesn't mean it's just a big sales letter, because then you'll get bad reviews and refund requests and kill your reputation. Give quality, but lead them to other places where they can spend bigger money.
Love that. Good stuff. So number one, you're saying it's going to be helpful for us to either affiliate with another company. You said it only takes an hour to find a couple of good companies where you can believe in the product and have them as a part of it. And that's something that I've been able to do just for as an example. I mean, I don't make a ton of money off of this. Maybe one day when the podcast is even larger, but I do actually have an Amazon affiliate link. So if I have you mention a book that you recommend, mm-hmm. for example, I could show that book on the Amazon link with our little affiliate, and I might make, 10 cents or whatever on a regular basis on those books. Or for example, this is the podcast on podcasting, and a lot of people always want to know, like, hey, Adam, what's a good mic to use? What's a good, mm-hmm. how do I record this? What equipment do I need? Hey, do you know where to find the Rodecaster or whatever? And so one thing that I had my team do is we built a little PDF. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's a PDF. Or we went into Amazon. It doesn't cost them anymore. But we went into Amazon and we found things. And for example, the mic that I'm using here, mm-hmm. is on there. The mic that you have there that I have at my other office is on there. And, the ATR 2100 is, mm-hmm. on there. And it's just a bunch of awesome mics that go from $20 to $500 and allow somebody to get good quality stuff at any price, right? So I created more of like a lead magnet where you go to our podcast, you go to growyourshow.com/PDF. And when they do that, they can download this. But the coolest thing is I will be able to have your email address when you do that. And I will be able to stay in front of you and add more value to you. But if you buy any of those products, they are affiliate products. Mm-hmm. And I might make, if you buy the $500 thing, I might make $20,
right, yeah.
Something cool like that. So you're saying to do things like this, have maybe a PDF like that, that you give away at the beginning that has affiliate links, or sell a book that hopefully leads into bigger things like your subscription service, where I guess it was around $50 a month, $600 a year per person. And you have somebody that's been doing that for 18 years, made $3.2 million.
3.6, yeah.
Sorry, 3.6.
Yeah, it's anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 a month still. So yes, I want you to do physical products at Amazon. The commission is not that great, but I want you to supplement that with digital products where you get, usually you're going to get a 50% commission. Some people will pay you 75% on digital products. And then that can be a much bigger take, but all of it put together, as long as it's serving the customer and things they're interested in, absolutely. This, you're crazy not to, because they don't pay anymore. That's, you have to make it clear to some people they're not going to pay anymore, but it helps you out. It helps the show out, and you pick these because you're the expert. And so now they don't have to go look at fake reviews all over the place and buy something and return it. So there's no downside to it.
What other pieces do we need to extract from your brain as far as being able to make money on our podcast on day one, like being profitable from first episode?
Well, I say, and not facetiously, if you have a mouth, you have a product. So, I got to be careful who I say that to. but coaching, there's no regulation on coaching. And I don't want you to coach on something you're an idiot about. But if, like I said, if you're doing a podcast on a topic that you're really good at, people will want one-on-one attention and they will pay for it. So coaching programs, membership sites are even better because the product that I was talking about pays monthly. Yeah. But a membership site is a digital product where you get paid monthly. And I wrote an article one time, Adam, that said, when does 20 equal 24,000? All right. And let's say you had a membership site on whatever topic and only had 100 members, which is about as pitiful as you can be with the billions of people in this earth. Okay. At $20 a month. All right. So $20 a month times 100 people is $2,000 a month times 12 months in a year. You just created a $24,000 a year cash flow at the worst performance you could ever come up with. What if you had 200 members? You'd exceed the average income of a US citizen. Okay. You'd be $48,000 a year from just 200 people in a $20 a month membership site. So, and it's recurring. So that means if you get sick or hurt or something, that money's going to keep coming in. You do have to interact with the members somewhat to keep them from churning, they call it, from, you know, unsubscribing. But still, if you get enough members, they forget all about you. They start talking to themselves. And I had one buddy. He got hurt or something and didn't put anything up for like a month. And he kept increasing in members because he had, you know, they were all interacting and making their own. He had a discussion board in the membership site. So they were able to interact and they didn't, he was gone for a month, didn't even notice.
Very, I've got so many thoughts and so many questions and ideas, I guess, as well for this podcast. And I have another podcast. One of the questions that I had is, it sounds like you, and I like the example that you used, you know, 20 becoming 24,000 with just 100 paying members at $20 a month. I think that it's debatable. And I really want to get your opinion on this. Some people say, no, I just want one person paying me $2,000 a month. That's easier for me to manage. I want to support one person at a higher level. And then at the same time, others would say, I want to have as many people possible paying a small amount that they feel like they're getting a lot of value from. What is your thought with that? Because I've always been the thought of, I want fewer clients, fewer headaches, fewer worries, but I just want them to be paying a lot more and I'll just work with six people and that's it, you know, at a time. What are your thoughts? And what do you think that the listener should be thinking about?
I think you ought to read my Automate book. So here's the thing. If you want to shoot the moon for a $2,000 a month client, well, what did you do to get them there? I mean, you had to do something because people are not going to come off the street with a nobody that they never heard of and give you $2,000 a month. All right. So you would have had to do a whole bunch of stuff to lead them there anyway. And so what I'm saying is let them pay along the way. Lots of people paying a little, and then some of them will go up to the $2,000 a month. And you're making cash flow all along the way instead of sitting there crossing your fingers that somebody's going to drop out of the sky and pay you $2,000 a month when you're a nobody. All right. And when I say nobody, I'm a nobody in the big scheme of things. All right. Unless you're Tony Robbins or somebody, you know, household name, that's not an easy thing to do straight to 2000. So you can hold out. And if you're flush with cash, yeah, you could do it, but you're still going to have to do a bunch of stuff anyway. So I'm saying, why not get paid for it along the way?
It kind of reminds me of Russell Brunson has this thought and idea of having his marketing pay for his clients so that his net out of getting a client, he makes money. So he might have like a free book plus shipping funnel that in the funnel, there's some type of upcharge where, hey, for this one-time offer, you don't have to just get the book for free, but if you pay $20, you can get all of these templates for free as well. And a lot of people jump in and they're like, well, that That's a huge value. I mean, I would have had to spend, you know, $6,000 with working with attorneys to develop all of these templates. So I'm in for this $20. So it's free plus shipping. They pay $7 or whatever. And then they also upgrade their order before they finish checking out, right after they put their credit card in. And now all of a sudden he's making money on the lead itself. And most of those people end up coming to his annual conference.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them, not all, not very many of them, but many end up paying for his, you know, hey, for $200,000, we can become your company's marketing arm or whatever. And so he finds a way to all of finding the clients, he's making money. And that kind of sounds
exactly
like what you're doing.
It's called self-liquidating lead acquisition. You know, okay. it pays for itself. But you got the lead instead of just paying for an ad and getting a lead and then trying to upsell them later. They're paid for as they come in. And so that's the method we're talking about. Yeah.
Good stuff. Really, really like that. What else does a new podcaster who wants to make money on the very first go, what else do they need to know, Tom?
Well, they need to know how to smoothly work in the sales process so not as to alienate the new listeners that are coming on. So you kindly made the comment of how I did it. You know, I just kind of, and I don't cut in an ad that's obviously it stops and then a different voice starts talking and then I come back in later. It's just me smoothly going into it right in the middle of a conversation. So practice that and get good at that, the host delivered ads. And when it's your product, you shouldn't have to even read it so much. You can just talk your way through it. And it sounds conversational. And the more you do it, the more conversational it sounds. And then nobody even notices it, but they got the sales message. Boom.
Yeah.
So that takes a little practice.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because yesterday I was in a mastermind group with some real estate investors that are starting podcasts. And one of them, I was just interviewing her on my podcast a moment ago, right before I started chatting with you. But the point is, she's kind of creating her podcast and growing it and getting it out in front of people. She mentioned that she had this certain call to action. And I asked her, tell me a little bit more about the call to action. She says, it's a recorded message. It says this, this, and this. And, you know, I actually used your strategy, the strategy that you implement on your podcast, Screw the Commute, when I was giving her value yesterday. And so all I said is, hey, why, instead of you having like a recorded ad that with music behind it, where people start to tune out automatically, they're like, oh, this is the end. This is that part where you pitch me something. That instead, while you still have your guest in front of you, you just go through the pitch from your heart. Just speak the truth. And so I asked her a few questions about it. And at the end of the day, it sounds like what she's going to start doing because of you, Tom, is it's awesome. It's awesome. We all learn from each other. She's going to start saying something to the effect of, before I let you go, I wanted to let the listener know that we have, I spent umpteen amount of hours creating something that I never saw anywhere, turned it into a lead magnet. It's going to be something that I sell eventually, but right now you could get it for free. If you want this free ebook, do it now, because eventually it's going to be for free. And we talked a little bit about her speaking from her heart, why she created it, and having it a different pitch every time, like a slightly unique pitch. But because she's not reading it and there's no music behind it, I figure it's going to come across really well to the listener. Would you recommend that type of thing for a new podcaster? And if so, would it be better at the beginning, the middle, or the end?
Well, I do one at the beginning and three-fourths of the way through with a Zagarnik technique, which I teach in my copywriting class on. It's a curiosity technique before I bring the guest on for the last segment. So I say, yeah, after when we come back, we're going to have Adam tell us about X, Y, and Z. But you know what? A couple years ago, this is what happened to me. I was doing this, that, and the other. You know, so it's just like, boom, it's just not so clear there's no big demarcation between the ad and the copy. And then if you'd like to have a little advanced technique, when you've done it enough, when you've spit your mouth out enough of these words of your ad. And when I teach professional speakers, I teach a thing called bits, chunks, and series, where I make them say a short piece of their talk 30 to 50 times out loud, because your lips don't always go where your mind's telling it, unless it's muscle memory for your lips, while they're doing something else, while they're taking a shower, while they're driving, while they're doing their hair, so that a hurricane could hit or an earthquake and they could spit that out smoothly. And after you do it 30 to 50 times, a magical thing happens. It kind of becomes conversational to the point where it's just smooth. So what I do, since I've done this so many times, like 400 some times, I relate something in my pitch to the guest. So this last guest grew up in West Virginia and was taken down into a coal mine. All right. He's one of his things is he was 6,000 feet underground in a coal mine somewhere. So I'm doing my pitch, and one of the things I say is, yeah, these guys when I started were charging 50 or 100 grand to do what I teach them. And I said, hey, I know these guys. If you gave them 50 or 100 grand, they'd be down there in that coal mine hiding out so they wouldn't have to help you. See, tied it all together. And of course, the guest is all ears then too, because it had something to do with them. So it becomes smooth with practice. And once you do it so many times, you can tweak it to make it even better and unique. So it's not the same every time.
Yeah, good. I'm really happy about this. Okay. Oh, so much good nuggets. here's where I want to go right now. I want to talk about, if you're going to make money on your very first podcast, you're going to need a couple of things. I think you're going to need a sound professional somehow. Now, the equipment that you have, you've got well over $1,000 that I see. Mm. And I mean, I don't know if we all have to spend $1,000.
No, you don't. I only got this microphone 50 episodes ago. I was actually making a mistake for about 350 episodes. I was using a condenser microphone. It was the best microphone I had here. But condenser microphones are best for studio environments where there's no, you know, total control over the environment. And so I was editing like breaths out like crazy. So this is a dynamic mic with a noise gate and a compressor limiter. And I don't know if you talk about this in your episodes, but anyway, so now I don't have to edit all the breaths out. And also something people should practice is to speak with inaudible breaths. You can improve that if you find out you're getting too many breaths and it's being distracting. But no, you can start with that ATR 2100. One of my students got it on sale for $62 on Amazon, and nice. It's great. And it's very versatile. You know, we're both against the Yeti stuff nowadays. Although Alex guy, did you hear Alex last night on that?
Yeah. Network? Yeah, I did.
I was surprised. I thought he had a lot of stuff going on there. He said, no, it's just a Yeti Pro. But most people don't get that kind of quality out of them. And they're condenser mics too, I think. So
yeah,
all kinds of noise and all that. But yeah, so I got a mixing board here. I got a compressor limiter. Piece of hardware, which you can do in software. And I got a cloud lifter, it's called. It jacks up the signal out of this expensive microphone, which is kind of funny. You pay more for the microphone than you got to buy a $150 accessory to make it work. So a couple digital recorders and I'm rock and roll. But I'll tell you what, when I first started, I thought I'm going to get a Windows 10 laptop and I'll learn Windows 10 while I'm doing the podcast. Awesome. No way. It didn't work for crap. When I went down to the Mac store, I said, if I had a Windows 10 laptop, should I shoot it with a shotgun or a pistol? And they said both. Yeah, it was terrible to try to get the people on different tracks. And then every time you turn it off, all the settings would go haywire. So I went down and bought a used iMac, and it's 400 episodes, like perfect. So I'm more for Macs on this than PCs. Now, if you're just recording yourself with no interviews, and you can record on anything. You can record on a Zoom H1 if you want to. But So you don't have to spend a lot to get good quality, but get good quality, because you're going to be heard by people that are listening to Joe Rogan and everybody else, and they're going to think you suck. And people will put up with poor video, but they won't put up with poor audio. So pay attention to that.
Let's talk about sounding good and making sure that the podcast does make money. So I have three questions. I'm going to throw them all at you at the exact same time. So get a pen ready. really, what I'm looking at and what I'm thinking about here is, if we're going to have a great podcast and it needs to make money on the very first episode, we should be thinking if we should be interviewing people or if we should be going solo episodes. So I'm wondering about that. I'm wondering about the budget that we should have, if we needed to have the lowest amount of budget possible, but still sound enough professional that people would take us seriously so we could make money. And then based on after we record, the post-production. So I want to talk about guests. Should you have them? Should you not? The budget for getting the equipment and the budget for post-production.
Okay. So what I did is, to make sure I had good quality, I went down to the local Guitar Center, which is the music store, basically. And they're all young kids in there, basically. And I kept asking, okay, who freelances? And so I had somebody come down and hook everything up and triple check everything for me and get the sound quality as good as possible for this environment. And with all relatively cheap stuff, the microphone, that condenser microphone, that was the only mistake I was making, was $100, $20 boom, just some other little stuff. And it sounded beautifully right from day one. So the budget does not have to be good, but somebody that knows what they're doing should help you. And I paid the kid $50 to come down here and take care of all of that for me, because I didn't really know. I mean, I've been doing audio for many years, but not to this level. So budget doesn't have to be good for this. Then there's something that you didn't mention about making money from your first episode, and that means you plan for your first episode, a bunch of ones in the can already, and then you develop a launch team of all your friends, everybody on earth that you know, if you got an email list or whatever, and give them prizes and have launch contests. And so I had actually 50 episodes in the can before I started, because another thing I wanted to do was go on a podcast tour and not have to worry about recording, because podcast listeners are great potential podcast guests. So I had 4 months of stuff in the can where I could just go do podcast after podcast after podcast to help build when I launched mine. So I suggest that if you want to make money on the first episode, you can't just plop it down tomorrow and say, well, where's the money? You plan for it. And when the launch hits, you'll have maximum people listening to it. But you have to have your ebook ready or your affiliate stuff ready and all that. But none of that costs anything. I mean, an ebook is a Word document converted to PDF. Boom. If you don't have a shopping cart, PayPal. All right. So it costs you zero to do this other than a little elbow grease. Now, post-production. Now, I'm kind of a control freak. I have edited every one of mine since the beginning. But most people are not going to do that. They're not going to have the skill to do that. So I don't know how much that should cost. You tell them, because you provide that service. So yeah, you can go lots of places to do it. But the problem I have, and the reason that I think somebody like you would be better, is because before you take on a client, you really know about the client. Where if you get somebody off of Fiverr or Upwork or something, they're not going to know things that I wish I wouldn't have said and probably shouldn't. You know, they're not going to call me up and say, Tom, you really sure you should? No, they probably can't even speak English hardly. So if you're not going to do it yourself, you got to have somebody really credible that knows what's going on, because something slips through that shouldn't be there. It could ruin, I mean, you could have people out in your cul-de-sac protesting if you're not careful. So yeah. I don't know how much it costs, because I've done my own. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll say it depends on what you're looking for, but we do about $155 per episode, but it's full service. So we're emailing your guest for you. We're creating all the promo images. We're posting it everywhere on your social media, your blog, So if you're not doing all that stuff, you might pay anywhere from $40 just for the editing, no show notes or whatever, all the way up to $355 for about the same thing that we do. So it's tough, but I would suggest, just because I went through it personally and I was editing my own. I didn't want to edit it my own. I was a bit of a control freak, but it held me back from what I really felt like I could, where I could shine and make the most money in my company. So I just really tried to get that off of my shoulders as fast as possible, just because it wasn't my best use of time, even though I'm a control freak.
And if you're going to pay for it, that's even more incentive. That's, if you want to make money off the bat, you got to figure out, okay, how many books do I have to sell? How many? Now, I don't really look at it like that so much, because I have products up to $58,000. So I can go lots of episodes and with nothing. And then boom, one person can be $58,000. And my school's $19,000 tuition. And I got mentor programs anywhere $13,000. And I got ebooks starting at like $17, you know. So when you have all that stuff going for you and you have to build up to that, of course. I've been doing this a long time, but the coaching and mentor and membership, I mean, you've got one member a show. All right. That's 20. Times 12. All right. That's a couple $100 that you made if you just got one member, you know, and that's in the first year you made a couple $100 off of that person. So if you put these mechanisms in place, you don't have to have high volume to make decent money to the point. I try to get people, Adam, to the point where it's too expensive for them to go to work anymore. Because these things are making them more money than wasting their time in traffic and sitting there making somebody else rich all day.
Yeah. So the last thing that I didn't hear you respond on is, we're trying to make money with our podcast. We want it to be done on day one. I love that you jumped in and mentioned that we really need to have a strong launch so that we have lots of listeners, or else it's not going to work. But the part where you mentioned, where I asked, you know, do we need to have interviews? Do we need to be solo? Do we need a mix of both? What's the best way to make money with our podcast, if between, you know, guest interviews or just solo episodes?
Okay. I prefer both, solo, a hybrid model. So on Mondays, I do an in-depth training session, just me on something that's either made me a fortune or saved me a fortune. But on Wednesdays and Fridays, I interview other entrepreneurs, and many of them have products that, if some is sold through the podcast, give me a commission. And why do you think I'm considered kind of a hot guest? Because, I mean, I was on a big name show, it'll go unnamed, twice, when they never have anybody on twice, because the first episode I was on, I end up sending the host $4,000 or $5,000. Right. So they're like, oh, well, maybe we should have this guy on. And that's happened to me a couple times in my career. I spoke at this place where it's a mandate, a big time mandate. You only had a speaker there once. I've been there five times because they made money every time I went there. So if you can offer a commission, or if you look at guests that offer commissions, then that's another chance to make money. You're still going to have your chance to sell on your episode that they're on. But then when you promote them, if they sell something and give you a commission, you just have another chance to make money that sounds different to the listener.
Okay, perfect. So to go over this one more time, you said on Fridays you interview other people. And on
Wednesdays and Fridays. I do it three a week.
Three interviews a week?
Three episodes a week.
Okay. And on how many of them do you have guests, and how many are you by yourself?
On Mondays, there's one a week where it's solo, Mondays.
Okay.
Wednesdays and Fridays are guests.
Cool.
Unless I get, you know, somebody cancels, I just throw together another solo.
Okay.
But that doesn't happen very often.
Neat. And with the back end of all of these products and services, would you suggest using, what is it, WordPress, Wix, ClickFunnels.
Wix to me is like the Yeti mic. Right. Wix is for people that don't know any better. All these people you see on TV, if you see a big budget on TV promoting a website creator, you know those people really aren't using it. They never made a website in their life. GoDaddy's the same thing. You know, the GoDaddy, you go to buy a $2 domain name and they sold you $400 of stuff before you leave. WordPress is the gold standard. There's nobody on earth that's credible that would dispute that. All right. So WordPress, you can put membership plugins. See, and I'm not saying WordPress is technically better than stuff. It's just that, I don't know how old you are, but there used to be the VHS beta was a big controversy, which is better. Well, most people said beta tapes were better, but VHS won the marketing game. So it's the same with WordPress. Maybe Drupal is better. Maybe, I don't know. But WordPress, everybody, you can wake a kid up from his nap at preschool and get him to help you work on your WordPress site, you know? So it won the marketing game. So you're crazy to go with some offbeat thing and then you can't find anybody to help you. I mean, literally, in 2 seconds, I could go on Fiverr and find 1,000 people that can help me with a WordPress blog. So
what about, you mentioned member sites, and I'm also mentioning funnels, and I know WordPress we can figure out each and everything on there, but would, like with the membership site, have you heard of Kajabi, or do you know anyone using it?
Kajabi had a rough start, and some of the people that started it off, and I'm not the biggest fans of, it's got over its problems in the beginning, and so it is a credible place to use. I happen to use Wishlist Member, and all of my students do, which is a plugin for WordPress. It's a paid plugin, and it's worked flawlessly for a lot of years. So, but there's nothing wrong with Kajabi nowadays. It's any growing pains they had have been fixed. So I do know people use it. Yeah,
good stuff. Well, number one, screwthecommute.com/automate-free. So if you want to automate what you're doing and have the lowest cost to be able to make millions, that's where you go. Screwthecommute.com, automate-free. If you like to hear Tom's podcast, I think you have a phenomenal podcast, by the way.
Thank you.
Jump in there. It's just called Screw the Commute. So wherever you're listening to this, very easy to go ahead and check it out over there. Just type in Screw the Commute and you'll be able to find his podcast as well. Tom, what parting advice, thoughts, and impressions do you need to leave with the new podcaster so they can make money on their podcast?
Well, look past the podcast. Do a great job on the podcast. Get advice from Adam and people that specialize in this. But look past it, because there's so many doors that it can open for you. Like I said, I got invited to the White House because of a technique of marketing my podcast, a very specific technique. So look past that and then be ready to monetize all of it so you can get out of the stupid J-O-B. And that means building a quality website, collecting email addresses, following up with people, having shopping carts and an array of products in all price ranges so that anywhere somebody is comfortable can jump in and give you money at high profit.
I love it. I love it. I really love how you do the $20 a month thing. Have you have a $13,000 mm-hmm. package, a $20,000 or $19,000 package, a $50,000, how you're being able to make money in a lot of different ways, and how you utilize marketing, advertising, sales, persuasion, and funnels to kind of make it all happen. And I'm looking forward to going to screwthecommute.com/automate-free, because I'm sure I can learn a ton, especially because, as Tom knows, we're in a mastermind together.
Yeah,
as
you're Tom busting knows, butt, man, to take care of these
I've
clients.
I've been really working hard the last 4 or 5 weeks.
You want me to give you a tip right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
All right. You on Mac or PC?
PC.
Okay. You go directly and you get shortkeys.com. You pay like $30 for it one time, and as soon as somebody asks you a question, if the same question comes in again, you make a short key out of it, which means instead of you retyping an answer or an inquiry to a client or something, and you make all your staff use it too. And then I just hit, like, if somebody asks me something, I hit Q7 and boom, it'll type in this much text to answer that question that fast. See, and I've been using that since 1997. That's the one that saved 7.5 million keystrokes, we estimated. Shortkeys.com. You're crazy awesome. Not to use it. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Tom, thank you for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Great having you. And I hope that to the listener, this was valuable for you to be able to start making money with your podcast right away. I appreciate you, Tom. I'm definitely going to have you back on. I really enjoy you. And one day I'm going to learn how to be funny from you. Okay. What was that? You wrote jokes for people?
Well, I got out of the nightclub business where I was in gunfights and knife fights and bikers trying to kill me. And I decided whatever I did then was going to be fun for me and fun for the people that my customers. So I created a company called Prank Masters, where we custom designed practical jokes long before Punk'd was around. It's kind of based on Candid Camera. And then I wrote custom humor for 4,000 jobs in and around Washington, D.C. for 6 straight years. So when you're writing humor for 6 straight years, you kind of, you know, I could just boom, boom, boom. And I see things differently, too, after you do that for a while.
screwthecommute.com/automatefree, or just go to screwthecommute.com, check out Tom, and start making money with your podcast. I'm going to let you go.
Bye. All right, catch you later. Thanks.
This is serious. Don't go. Now that you've gotten whatever value that you feel that you got, the actionable takeaways, you need to implement the stuff that you learn. If you remember me talking about bird church once, and they learn how to fly, and then they walk home. I don't want you to walk home. I want you to fly home. So take the steps, take the actionable steps for your benefit so that you can become a better podcaster. That's the only thing that I ask of you. And I'll see you for more actionable tips on the very next episode.